Hello, and welcome to our first podcast this year. Happy New Year, everyone, and Happy Lunar New Year. I actually had to Google this, but I understand it's Happy Gregorian New Year for January 1st, and then Happy Lunar New Year, I think, was just a couple days ago. So Happy New Year in lots of different cultures. So we are holding our January podcast, where we're going to be bringing you updates from the January board meeting. I am Neely Shaw, Executive Technical Director of the IASB. Joining me today are Andreas Barco, Chair of the IASB, and Zach Gast, one of our IASB members. Welcome, both of you.
Thank you.
So we have just finished our January 2025 board meeting, where we discussed three current projects. We also discussed a few other business items, including the IASB's prioritization framework and consistent application activities. In the episode today, we will focus on two projects. First, business combinations, disclosures, goodwill, and impairment, otherwise, as you all know, known as BCDGI. And second, provisions. And then we'll also give you an update on our findings from our horizon scanning activities related to issues around pollutant pricing mechanisms and also financial reporting in hyperinflationary economies. So let's start with the first topic, business combinations, disclosures, goodwill, and impairment. As a reminder, this project aims to improve, at a reasonable cost, information that companies provide about their acquisitions. And as you know, in March 2024, we issued an exposure draft proposing amendments to two accounting standards, IFRS 3, business combinations, and IAS 36, impairment of assets. And the comment period closed in mid-2024. Over a series of meetings late last year, the board discussed a high-level overview of the feedback on the exposure draft and more detailed feedback on some aspects, particularly around proposed requirements to disclose performance and expected synergies information in IFRS 3. In January, the board discussed feedback on the remaining aspects of the proposals. So, Andreas, can we start off with you, and can you share some of the main takeaways with our listeners?
Absolutely. And let me start by first wishing everybody a Happy New Year. So we discussed a number of topics, but the main discussion related to the proposed amendments to the impairment test in IAS 36. In the ED, we proposed to remove the requirement to exclude uncommitted future restructurings and asset enhancements when calculating value in use. We also proposed to improve how entities allocate goodwill to cash-generating units. On both these proposals, we received mixed feedback. However, we heard general agreement on other changes to IAS 36, including the proposal to disclose in which reportable segments a CGU or group of CGUs containing goodwill is included, and the proposal to allow use of post-tax cash flows and discount rates. The board didn't make any decisions at this meeting, but we also discussed the staff plan for redeliberating the proposals in the exposure draft, so let me provide you some flavor. In February, we expect to redeliberate and decide whether to retain the project's current objective and scope. And from March onwards, we expect to commence redeliberations on requiring entities to disclose performance and expected synergy information. As you will appreciate, this is a complex with a number of interdependencies and lots of mixed views. So we expect redeliberations to continue well into 2026. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Andreas. So let's move on to the second topic we wanted to cover today, which is the provisions project. And as you're well aware, the project aims to make targeted improvements to IAS 37, provisions, contingent liabilities, and contingent assets. Stakeholders have told us that IAS 37 generally works well in practice and doesn't need fundamental review. However, they have identified problems with some aspects of the standard, most notably when to record provisions for some types of obligations, such as levies, and how to measure long-term provisions, specifically what rates to use to discount those provisions to their present value. So, Zach, moving on to you, could you shed some light on recent developments regarding this project, and in particular, the comment period for the project?
Yes, I can. So taking a step back, we wanted to help companies in applying the requirements in IAS 37 more consistently and also to provide investors with more useful information so that they can make better assessments of the company's future cash flows. The board published an exposure draft on the 12th of November with the comment period running until the 12th of March, consistent with our due process handbook, which mandates a minimum 120-day comment period, except for exceptional circumstances. Recently, a few national standard setters have requested a 60-day extension, citing the amendment's complexity. They also noted that the timing coincides with stakeholders' busy periods, which would hinder providing high-quality input. Having heard about those requests, two companies also said they'd like more time to assess the proposals and asked for a 30-day extension. Most other stakeholders, though, including preparers and auditors, haven't expressed concerns over the comment length period. A few opposed an extension on the grounds that the proposed changes are important and need to be finalized on a timely basis. After weighing the pros and cons, the board decided not to extend the comment period, keeping it at the original 120-day period ending on the 12th of March. We noted that 120 days had been selected applying our due process guidelines and with the knowledge of the factors that were referred to in the requests. We also took note that we'd need specific reasons for making an exception. Otherwise, we'd be setting a precedent. When we have extended comment periods in the past, it was because of some crisis, like COVID, which we all remember, or because we had a few consultations running concurrently. There were no such factors to consider in this case. We are, though, sympathetic to the timing concerns, so I just want to flag some other ways in which we can support stakeholders in developing their views and submitting feedback on time. For example, we can meet with stakeholders that may need more information to understand the implications of the proposals. Additionally, we can re-deliberate proposals, and as we do that, we typically conduct further outreach to understand stakeholder views and can consider new information that emerges then. We're really looking forward to reading the feedback on this exposure draft, and we hope to hear from everyone.
Thanks, Zach. So that covers the two projects we wanted to update you on today. And as I mentioned, we also wanted to cover our horizon scanning activities. And these activities are used to just monitor emerging issues that may require some sort of accounting solution. So in January, we discussed two of these developing issues. As I mentioned, pollutant pricing mechanisms, or PPMs for short, and hyperinflationary economies. Let's start with PPMs, which are arrangements that aim to create economic incentives for entities to reduce greenhouse gas emissions and other pollutants. Many respondents to our third agenda consultation commented on the lack of specific accounting requirements for PPMs and rated a project on PPMs as a high priority. However, it was not rated as highly as some of the other projects that we've added to our work plan, namely intangible assets and statement of cash flows. So that was not added to the work plan at the time. However, since completing the third agenda consultation, several stakeholders have suggested that the IASB should prioritize a project on pollutant pricing mechanisms. Stakeholders have indicated that the prevalence and significance of PPMs is increasing and that due to a lack of specific accounting requirements, practices may vary. In response to these comments, the staff conducted work last year to assess whether the situation has changed since the third agenda consultation, such that the IASB should now prioritize this project. So, Andreas, with that background, can you elaborate a little bit more about the discussions in January?
Yep. The board discussed preliminary results and feedback from the horizon scanning activities in June 2024. Since June, we've performed additional outreach and met with the IFRS Interpretations Committee and several of our consultative groups, including the Accounting Standards Advisory Forum. They told us that the prevalence and significance of PPMs is increasing and that there is diversity in accounting for these mechanisms, underscoring concerns about the lack of transparency and comparability amongst entities participating in PPMs. We also met with the Advisory Council to seek feedback on whether the IASB should start a project on PPMs before the next agenda consultation. Although few council members supported starting a project now, many suggested that the IASB should defer a project on PPMs until the next agenda consultation. Bodies like ESMA or FASB are also interested in this topic. ESMA has released a statement on carbon allowance accounting, and the FASB have published an exposure draft on the topic.
Thanks, Andreas. So with that feedback from various stakeholders and bodies, what did the January board meeting aim to accomplish?
So the January board meeting aimed to provide the ISB with an update on the horizon scanning activities performed in relation to pollutant pricing mechanisms since the ISB's June 2024 meeting and make a decision on whether to start a project on PPMs before the next agenda consultation, or defer decision to add a project on PPMs to the ISB's work plan to the next agenda consultation, meaning after 2026. At the meeting, the board decided not to add a project on PPMs to the ISB's work plan right now, but instead listen to stakeholder feedback in our next agenda consultation. We believe that doing so will allow stakeholders and the IASB to consider the priority of PPMs in relation to other projects identified during the consultation process and avoid affecting the progress of active projects. The board recognizes that the prevalence and significance of PPMs is increasing and that there is diversity in accounting practice for PPMs that reduces the usefulness of information provided to users of financial statements. However, starting a new project now would require us to retire, pause, or slow down the progress of other active projects. Also, there's lack of evidence to suggest that the issue is sufficiently time-sensitive to justify disrupting active projects. Instead, by deferring a decision to the next agenda consultation, which we expect to start in the coming months, we have an opportunity to hear from stakeholders about the priority of a project on pollutant pricing mechanisms in relation to other potential projects that stakeholders would like the board to work on.
Thanks, Andreas. And that is a helpful transition because another project that stakeholders would like us to work on is on hyperinflationary accounting or the application of IAS 29. This is another topic we have been monitoring as part of our horizon scanning activities. As background, many of you are probably aware that IAS 29 applies to any entity whose functional currency is the currency of a hyperinflationary economy. Hyperinflation is indicated by factors such as prices, interest, and wages linked to a price index, and cumulative inflation over 3 years of around 100% or more. Also, in a hyperinflationary environment, financial statements under IAS 29 would include comparative information and must be expressed in units of functional currency current as at the end of the reporting period. Restatement to current units of currency is made using the change in general price index. The gain or loss on net monetary position must be included in profit or loss for the period and must be separately disclosed. So the IASB's third agenda consultation highlighted inflation as a possible project due to some stakeholder concerns about IAS 29. But at the time, it was rated a low priority, so the project was not added to the IASB's work plan. Zach, can you update our listeners on developments on this topic?
Sure. So I'd start by saying a lot has changed since the agenda consultation in 2022. Inflation has really accelerated around the world, as I think we all have seen. And many more economies are experiencing high rates of inflation, requiring more entities to consider how to apply IAS 29. We've heard a few key concerns around this. First, assessing when an economy becomes hyperinflationary, then the cost and complexity of applying IAS 29, if so, and finally, the usefulness of the resulting information. The January session was used to share with IASB members feedback on stakeholders' experiences, challenges, concerns, and suggestions in the area. The board expressed mixed views about the problems to address, how quickly those problems could be addressed, and when the board should begin to tackle these issues. The board wasn't asked to make decisions at this meeting. However, this information could help inform future IASB discussions, for example, its discussions on the next agenda consultation.
Great. Thank you, Andreas and Zach. So that wraps up our highlights from the January IASB meeting. Listeners, thank you for joining us on this podcast. We look forward to bringing you further updates on these important projects in the future. And stay connected with us through our website and social media channels for the latest news and updates. And we hope you can join us for the February episode. Thank you.
Cheerio.